Talk, talk to me. WSRadio.com.
Welcome to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier.
Hello and welcome. We are Computer and Technology Radio. I am Mark Cohen. She is Marcia Collier. And hey, guess what? New hacking incidents. Wow.
Wow, what a shock.
Shocker.
Really?
Totally
oh my,
shocking.
A cybersecurity breach, those things never, ever happen.
No, I know. It doesn't happen more than every 10 years, or is it every 10 minutes? I can't keep getting that confused.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need to have a hack of the week special.
We used to. You know, for a while, we did actually do that. And then it kind of calmed down for an hour and a half, and now it's back again. So.
Yeah, well, you want to kick this one off?
Yeah, Roku uncovered new hacking affecting a smaller number than usual, 576,000 people. Their logons were exposed in related breaches. So now, where have they been? Now they've turned on two-factor authentication for all accounts.
Wait a minute. We have to add, the company has more than 80 million accounts.
Right.
Okay. And they say that the people didn't get access to credit card numbers, but there's the, yeah, right. Are we going to believe them? But this is the second attack they had this year. I mean, when there was one in the beginning of the year that was 15,000 user accounts.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just so frustrating. And there's apparently nothing can be done, no matter how much security is actually used. And, you know, they're getting information about you. You know, stolen email addresses, password combinations from other websites.
I know. I'm looking here. The company says it identified less than 400 cases when the information was used to make unauthorized purchases of streaming. I mean, 400? Really?
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
The odds don't even work that way.
No,
when you're exactly. talking 576,000 accounts.
Yeah, and they're also saying that they may find stored payment cards.
Ooh.
You know, so they get your payment information, your credit card information.
It's a real treasure trove.
Well, it's nice. But they say that the hackers failed to gain access to, and I quote, any sensitive information, including full credit card numbers or other full payments.
Yeah. So, okay. They have turned on two-factor authentication for all accounts just now. So,
oh, great. Yeah, well, that's what I said. Yeah,
right.
Now you're doing it?
If you're using Roku, I suggest you go to your account and check out the two-factor authentication, see if there's anything you need to put in there. Because next time you log into the Roku account, it'll send a verification link to your email address.
Yeah.
And you'll need to click the link, blah, 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 two-factor authentication.
It's funny. It says that the hacking incidents occurred weeks after Roku forced users to a new agreement that prevents them from suing the company.
What? So, are you serious?
Yeah, that's what it says. A company displayed a pop-up on Roku TV that essentially bricked the device unless the users agreed to opt in to their dispute resolution terms.
Well, you know, I'm writing my new book on Android because it's time, right?
Right, yeah, you're right.
And I got to tell you, there are so many things because Android is different. For instance, like on Samsung, you'll have a Samsung assistant as well as your Google assistant.
Sure, right.
And Google assistant is automatic with Android. But then you have to give permission for the Samsung assistant.
Right.
And I'm going, no, 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 no. I got one on here already. I'm not doing that.
it's ridiculous. So just, you know, and by the way, two-factor authentication is a pain in the butt. It definitely is. You got to, you know, you got to use two different sign-ons to do it, but it's safer and you might as well do it.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Might as
All
well.
Right. So on the area of what we've talked about for years is right to repair. Apple is allowing users to repair their phones with used parts, which apparently they've never been able to do before. So it'll enable them to repair their devices with used genuine parts. They still have to be genuine parts, meaning that they came out of Apple, in order to gain full functionality. But when you repair a phone, Apple will require iPhone users to go through a process that they called parts pairing. That matches the serial number of the device to that of the new part.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So if a user replaces a part with an aftermarket or used component, iPhone would display a notification saying, this is not a real device. You can't, you know, real part. You can't
Great.
Use it.
Great.
But apparently they're allowing that to happen now. So, and you know, it's kind of funny because I noticed, and I don't know if you've noticed this with Canon, you use, what is your printer that you use?
I have a Canon, not a Canon. I have
HP or
Echo Tank.
Okay. So you have
Epson
a tank
Echo Tank, and I have a laser, which I adore, which is an ancient HP laser that it costs me, okay, $300 a year or right. $300 every 18 months to change the cartridges.
That's cheap enough.
But it works beautifully, and I'm going to use that till forever.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because I have a Canon, and I have tried in the past to use cartridges that were made not by Canon. And when I put them into the machine, it comes back and says, this is not a genuine Canon part. Can't use it. Now, just recently, I had thought I had actually bought on Amazon some Canon cartridges.
You thought you
actually.
Well,
I thought I did. Right. You know, I looked at the packaging. Turns out they weren't when I got them, and I went, uh-oh. But I plugged them in, and this time it said they're genuine parts. So
really?
Yeah, I was shocked. I was.
How did that happen?
I have no clue. It's really interesting. But it does say they're genuine parts, and they were way cheaper than regular Canon products. So you can sometimes get them at a cheaper price.
That blows me away. That's amazing.
Yeah, isn't that something? So anyway, Right to Repair is getting there, and I don't know how many people are going to actually, you know, even if you were able to take your iPhone apart, which I don't think I would ever attempt to do, I'm not sure I would do it. I'm sure they'd figure a way to tell me.
Well, I took about a part of Samsung tablet and changed a battery.
And how hard was it?
It was more nerve-wracking than it was hard.
Really?
So, yeah, it really wasn't that big a deal. So, you know, it isn't that hard on some of them. If you go to the iFixit site, they have the instructions for just about any procedure that you'd want.
Right.
And it also tells you if it's hard, medium, or easy.
Yeah.
So if you want to do it yourself, go to the iFixit site and have them, you know, see what they have to say about it.
Well, remember, Apple had come out with this $1,000 kit.
Right. Remember that?
Yeah. And I think it's still floating around. It doesn't mean you had to pay $1,000. If I remember correctly, you had to put a $1,000 deposit down.
Right.
And then when you returned it, they didn't charge it to you.
Yeah. Great. Swell.
So, yeah. So thanks, Apple.
There's so much nonsense. I have to throw in really quick.
Yeah.
There was a post on X, a.k.a. old Twitter, that says you might be losing followers again.
Okay.
Now, in case you've been on Twitter at any time, you'll all of a sudden notice you lose a bunch of followers.
I remember when that happened.
And I've noticed with a bunch of people that they've had their accounts suspended and they have to go prove that they are who they are.
Right.
And to get the account back. I know of somebody, by the way, and this is just a tip, who lost control of their account because their phone had gotten hacked.
Okay.
You know, and then those people were able to take over the Twitter account. But when Twitter asked for a copy of their ID, they were all smart, and they redacted their address on their driver's license.
Clever,
yeah, clever. Right?
Yeah.
So they're posting teary videos, and I do feel so sorry for them. But you don't redact your identification information when that's what's going to prove to get your account back.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't do that. And you can't say, oops, later, and try and resend something, because then it looks like you're probably just faking something else.
Yeah, you know, that happened to me, and as you remember, and I don't remember, they froze my account for absolutely no reason, because I never posted anything.
Why.
Yeah.
What they are trying to do with a lot of accounts is if the accounts only post automatically, like through a service called Buffer.
Right.
Or if they just don't post, you know, if they go on. And so if you're on Twitter, just, you know, go up to somebody's page that you know and comment that. Or comment on an article. That's the best thing you can do.
Well, I did that, and I often quote your articles, and I post when I do distinguished speakers, I post photographs, and you and I were talking about this, and, well, maybe they thought the photos weren't allowed. And so I went through a series of things with Twitter, or X at the time, I guess it was,
yeah.
And I said, what are you talking about? I didn't do it. And then they came back and said, okay, you're back. Never explained why. Never explained why they suspended it. Never explained why they recreated it. They just put it back.
Thank goodness you didn't lose the account.
Yeah. I mean, I expected to come back and find all the followers gone. And they obviously clearly made a mistake on my account. And they didn't own up to it. It took me like 2 or 3 emails to say, what's going on here? You know, and I don't even use Twitter that much, but it just annoyed me. And eventually, like I say, they put it back on again. So I don't go figure it out.
Well, just, you know, life marches on with Twitter.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to tell you, it's getting tough. And you know, I've been on Twitter since 2008, 2007.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just isn't what it used to be.
No, it's not the same. It's definitely not the
same.
It's
just not the same. And I still love it. It's still the first thing I check every day. That's how I know OJ had passed away. It's because I went on Twitter.
Maybe, yeah, exactly.
You get the best news right on Twitter. Right.
Exactly.
So.
Wow. All right. So
anyway,
you're one of those people that liked seeing the eclipse. I have to say, I don't care. I don't care. Who cares? So it's dark for 15 minutes. Big deal. But a lot of people love it.
Yeah. So, my husband didn't care either. I came up with this whole plan, how we could leave Burbank Airport and go to Dallas, stay at the Dallas Airport. I had this all set up.
Right.
We, you know, ready to click to buy the room
and
watch the eclipse. And then go back to L.A.
Right.
Yeah, not buying it.
Yeah, I'm the same. I was like, I didn't even look. What I knew it was around. The windows of my office face out to an area where you can't see the sun. So I never saw any of it at all. But
well, I went outside and I put on the glasses and I did see it. So yay.
Okay, well, you found a way for people to see it over the next 20 years. So what's that?
Well, the thing is, believe it or not, there are some adventures I like to do when traveling.
Right.
One of those adventures may be eating Chinese food in a restaurant in China.
Well, that's an interesting idea. Wow. I never thought of doing that.
Yeah, well, I did it. But, you know, go up to the top of Alaska. Did it. But I don't want to go on safari. So there's that.
Oh,
but anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't.
Photograph.
I know, photograph, but I can't. You see too much of nature going on, and nature is not nice.
No, sometimes it is not.
And you will see animals being killed by other animals.
Yeah, that's true.
I just don't want to see that.
No, I can't blame you.
But anyway, so I'm thinking, you know, when is there going to be another eclipse that I'll be alive for?
Right.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, is it really going to happen for me? Well, I found the next total solar eclipse occurs August 12th, 2026.
Yeah, not so far off.
And there's not a long path of totality because it goes, I think, over the North Pole. You know, it goes from Russia to Europe over the North Pole.
Right.
But it's going to be in Portugal and Spain.
Those are nice places to go.
I figured it out. Can go to Barcelona. And then from there, you drive an hour to this town, I forget what it's called, and you'll be right in the path of totality. So you get a little trip to Barcelona.
Yeah, Barcelona is a great city. I was there for the Olympics.
Oh, I love Barcelona.
Great city. You can go to northern Russia, apparently. That seems safe.
I'll pass.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not.
I'll pass.
Yeah.
It looks like you can go to northern Canada.
Maybe. Okay.
I don't know.
That's closer.
I don't know.
Russia.
But anyway, I think I'll try and go. And that way I can see my cousins from England. They can meet me there. That'd be cool. But I mean, there are going to be a bunch of them if you want to travel. In 2027, there's one in Karnak, the great temple complex in the city of Luxor, Egypt, which is a very cool place to visit.
Yeah, I bet that's a good place to visit. Yeah.
And the moon will completely cover the sun for 6 minutes, 22 seconds.
Okay.
That's very cool.
Okay. Well, have a good time.
So there are more.
And I, Kurt and I will stay home and we'll watch it on TV.
And you can watch sumo wrestling.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, with the big question I have that came out of this story.
What?
Is how is the Chinese food in China?
Not at all like the Chinese food that we have here.
I suspect not.
Not at all. They're a lot more into fresh fish.
Okay.
But I don't know how it happens. The fish, you know, may be baked and they're posed like in a, you guys can't see it out there, but like they pose the fish on the plate when they serve it. So it's a beautiful presentation of a dead fish staring at you.
Okay.
And that personally put me off just a bit.
I can imagine it did.
And I was in a Michelin 4-star restaurant.
Wow.
And they served fried duck tongues.
Ew.
Well, I didn't eat them.
Okay.
So every time I have been to China and every time I do go to a new country or almost any country now, I buy the Jif peanut butter, you know, in the squeezable package.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
Pack it in my checked baggage with some rice cakes. And I have that every morning for breakfast because you never know what the world is going to give you in a strange country. But that's crazy. I did go to McDonald's in Paris. And
oh, how was that? I assume that probably was similar tasting.
Yeah, it was. And they had kiosks, you know, and no people. Mm-hmm. Back in like 2015, which was weird. I mean, they're so way ahead of us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, McDonald's has done a great job. So you're saying that it's not Panda Express Chinese food?
Not even close. Yeah. Speaking of McDonald's doing a great job.
This is a crazy story. Okay,
so
go ahead.
In the Netherlands, McDonald's, the New York Post story said they debut the first scented billboard. So what I've got to do is explain this to you.
Yeah, please.
It's on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're into art at all, and you know about the artist Mondrian, which basically painted color blocks.
Right. Just all color.
Right. It's a big color block of red.
Okay.
And it's on the ground. And I can see it's, I would say it's about 15 feet tall. And it's on the ground.
Okay.
But the deal is, if you walk within 15 feet of it, you're going to smell McDonald's French fries.
Okay. I mean, the story said that they put a machine into the billboard.
Yeah.
Which is you know, a tray of fries into the billboard.
Yeah, and I don't know how it generates that much smell from a tray of fries. And it probably has to be next to the McDonald's, you know, so they could keep running out new.
Right.
I have no idea how it works. This is, you know, secret technology.
Right.
But it goes back and forth between McDonald's yellow and McDonald's red.
Okay.
And, you know, people just look at it and, what is this? And
I mean, it's so funny. It's a funny story. Apparently, they put ventilators to diffuse the scent in the back, and then it sprays on out, and I guess it gives you the, I want McDonald's fries.
Well, anyway, this is in the Netherlands. Just so you know, McDonald's is eponymous. They're everywhere. They're in every country.
Oh, yeah.
When I was in China, I once, because you know how I feel about the food there.
Right.
Ate lunch at a Subway. I was so excited to find a Subway in China. I can't even begin to tell you.
Funny. Do you remember Smell-O-Vision in the movie theaters?
No, I never went in for that.
It was so ridiculous. They installed, they installed under your seat some kind of, you know, machine that when you were watching the movie, and I'll call it a ribeye steak comes on, suddenly you whiff the smell of a ribeye steak.
Oh,
I think it lasted about 5 minutes, and a few of the theaters. I think I went one time to see it. I mean, it's interesting.
Well, it's creative marketing from on McDonald's part.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've been searching the universe.
Yes, I have.
To look for so many different things.
Well, let's take a look today. We search the universe, the planets, and Best Buy for the buy of the week. That sounded short to me. Didn't we have a short drum?
It's supposed to be playing right now.
Yeah. Well, I heard a little. Okay, so an 85-inch TV. There we go. There we go. Yeah, that's it. Now I'm better.
Okay.
So I've never had a TCL television, but they've gotten great reviews. And this is an 85-inch TV. This is huge. I mean, 85 inches. I don't have an 85-inch TV. It's what they call
it. I don't know where I'd put an 85-inch TV.
Well, you got to have a big enough wall. There's no question about it. It's a 4K UHD, so ultra-high definition, HDR, all the bells and whistles that you need in that kind of TV. Of course, a smart TV with Google TV attached to it. And it has a resolution of 2160, four times the pixels of a full HD TV. And it's gotten, let's see, on this Best Buy website, there are how many reviews? There are 262 reviews, 4.7 out of 5 stars.
That's
so great reviews.
Yeah.
And now, you know, if the last time I saw an 85 TV
now,
come
do
out,
they deliver?
I'm pretty sure they will. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if they charge for it, but I'm pretty sure they'll deliver it.
Okay.
And this TV is on sale, $100 off the normal price, which was still cheap, $799.99. Yeah, it's
that's
crazy.
Amazing.
That's really crazy.
That's really amazing because that is.
Yes, thank you very much.
That one deserves the applause. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Yeah. So anyway, if you
give
want
the model number and all that.
Let's see. This is model number 85S450G, and it's a TCL 85-inch TV for $799.99.
That's a deal.
And that is our buy of the week.
So Google.
Yep.
Google. You know, Google is amazing. They'll come out with a product. People will use it. People will like it. And then they'll discontinue it because they're through testing whatever they were testing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, some things they roll out because they need it to be competitive in the market.
Mm-hmm.
So they've always had the Find My Device network for Android.
Right.
When I can't find my phone, I pick up my tablet. And I either go to the website or if I have the app on the phone, I'll use the app. There's an app on the phone.
And so your phone doesn't have a Find My Device? The Androids don't have Find My Device?
Yeah, they do. But they just found phones.
Okay.
See, they just found phones. It doesn't come pre-installed on the older phones. So you have to put the app on manually.
Mm-hmm.
But see, Android doesn't bam you with a bunch of apps.
Okay.
You kind of have to figure out which ones you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that because my phone doesn't come full of crap. So on the other hand, some Android brands make their own software, as I said earlier, and it just fills up your phone. But that's another story. So anyway, so there's always been a way to find your device. And what it does is it rings the phone or plays music on the phone and you find it. Well, it seems they are going to be competing with Apple. Those little, what are they called? The Apple.
Well, it's Find My. Well, there's Find My Friends. There's Find My Devices on your Apple.
Yeah, so but the Apple trackers. What are they called?
The tags.
Apple tags. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it seems that they're going to be coming out with access for a new, like, Google tag. That are going to be made by third-party users. But the amazing thing on the new Pixel 8 Pro, which is the phone I'm testing now, which, I meant to review today. I can't, but I will next week because I love the phone and I finally got it down. Anyway, the new Pixel 8 Pro can be found even if they're powered off or if the battery is dead.
Well, that's a big plus.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not real familiar with the technology and all that, but I think, you know, what the hell? So there's going to be a Pebblebee card, Pebblebee tag, Chipolo card that kind of slips into your wallet or into your luggage, and Eufy Smart Track for Android. We use Eufy cameras over here, so I know very familiar with the brand. It's EUFY.
Right.
So these things are going to roll out in May. You can even find your house key because they're going to have little sticker things. And it's kind of funny. They're going to select one, like the key, and tap find nearby to play sounds and get hints, like devices close, very close. It's here.
That's what my watch just said.
Yeah, a little corny.
3 feet, 2 feet, 5 feet.
Yeah, I don't need that. But bottom line, it's good that Android will have a tag. And the Find My Device tags will be working. And if you have a phone in your suitcase or whatever, that could be a tag all by itself. You know, if it's a new enough phone that has that technology that if it's turned off, it will send out a signal. I mean, considering what their 800 million Android users worldwide, you've got a big audience. It works on a form of Bluetooth. I am not really sure because there are several articles about it, but they are new Bluetooth tags. And, there's over a billion Android devices that are running Android 9 and over that will carry this. So I think a billion is a big enough audience.
Seems like it.
Because they used to say for the AirTags, well, everyone has an iPhone, so it's going to be found real easy.
Yeah, right.
Well, here, now we got 8 billion, so we're going to find our stuff finally. So I think that's
it's a great thing. I use it all the time on my watch when I can't find my phone. Just, I talk into the watch and say, find my phone. And it, like you just said, it's 7 feet away. It's 3 feet away. It's,
Yeah, mine just plays music. Yeah. I set it to play music. I don't want mouthy phone. I don't want anything talking to me. What can I say?
Well, it doesn't actually talk. It just directs you on your phone.
Right. I don't want to hear from it. I just want it to do what I want it to do.
Yeah, there you go.
So, and they will, the trackers will be shipping in late May. And by the way, they will be cross-platform, possibly. And they have cross-platform safety measures to see if an Apple AirTag is close to you. But we already have that on the phone, but it'll be rolling on as part of Android proper.
Okay. Well, there you go. So what's this about Tesla superchargers?
Well, it seems, first of all, some article I'm reading. Tesla owner calls police on Rivian driver who's using their supercharger.
How dare they?
Stomp.
Wow.
Whoa, that right? Well, it seems that you don't call the police.
You would think not.
When the police came, and of course this was in California.
Right.
He points to the Tesla vehicle charging only sign and insisted it was illegal for the Rivian driver to be there. Yet Tesla gave Rivian an access to its network last month at eligible stations.
Yeah, exactly.
Ford EVs can also charge at superchargers.
Yeah.
But EVs from General Motors, Volvo, and Polestar are next to be on the list. It's not there yet.
Makes sense.
I mean, do not call the police.
So silly.
How privileged. Can you be more privileged? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he was probably taking the only charging spot, and the guy pulled up, and he couldn't find the charging spot. And so that's what prompted him, I suspect, to get out.
What's the male version of Karens? I don't know, but this is just...
Yeah, right, exactly.
Really. So they are cutting back on the federal tax credit for EVs.
They have. Yeah, they've been trying to cut back on federal tax credits. So here's a list of the...
Wait, what are they doing with all that extra money? Yeah. Where are they sending it? Never mind.
Yeah, damn good question. So the list got a lot shorter in 2024, but it's getting back up to 2023 numbers. In 2023, 17 full EVs qualified for the credit. Then they dropped it down to 7. Now it's back to 15. So, and automobile makers apparently are struggling to meet these just, different requirements on batteries. So the tax credit, which is the full $7,500 or the $3,700 half credit, and that comes under the Inflation Act and so on and so forth. So the list of vehicles that now qualify, you can get the Tesla Model 3. EVs that qualify are the Acura ZDX, the Cadillac Lyriq, Chevy Blazer.
Nothing
Chevrolet.
I want, by the way.
Now, right. So far as I agree. The Chevy Bolt, the Chevy Bolt EUV, the Chevy Equinox, Ford F-150. You know, that's funny. Ford F-150. I always think of that as a real man's car. And for some reason, electric just doesn't seem right to me on that car.
Well, there's an electric Hummer. So, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Honda Prologue, Tesla Model 3, Tesla Model X, Tesla Model Y, and Volkswagen ID-4. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, not one I want.
Yeah, no, and I don't want any of those either. Then apparently the Chrysler Pacifica will get it. And then the half credit goes to Nissan Leaf, Rivian. There's your Rivian, two different Rivian models, and the Audi for the 3750, Audi Q5, Ford Escape, Jeep Grand Cherokee, Jeep Wrangler, and the Lincoln Corsair Grand Touring Car. So, and again, I haven't seen any on that list that I want either. But at least you can, if you're looking for an EV, that's the list of cars that you can get the credit. And it's a full tax credit. It comes right off your taxes.
So, really? Just
yeah,
full?
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. A full credit. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it takes $7,500 away from whatever your tax liability is. So.
Well, I have to tell you, since there's no car I really want in that.
Right.
When I was in England late last year, mm-hmm. I was in a taxi and it was a brand new taxi. And, you know, they're driving in traffic all the time. So they have hybrid taxis. And that, to me, makes so much more sense. And honestly, the market over here, people are gunning to get the hybrid versus a straight EV.
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, if you have a dead battery, you can just drive. Well, some of them refill their batteries by driving.
Yeah, so, you can do that, sure.
So, I mean, in most hybrid vehicles, the gasoline engine and the electric motor powers the wheels. The engine also has a generator that creates electricity.
Right.
Electricity feeds into a battery pack, which then provides juice to the motor.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, hybrids recharge the battery another way. When you take your foot off the accelerator or hit the brakes, the car reverses the direction of the electric motor, which both slows the vehicle and turns the motor into a generator, creating mm-hmm. electricity. I don't know. This is like way beyond my pay grade. But there are a lot. I like the idea better. I might, you know, think this is something good if it was offered in a car that I like.
Yeah, well, that's the secret. Although they are getting more cars and more expensive cars are coming out with it. I think Bentley announced an electric vehicle coming out. Some really high-end cars are coming out finally with, with electric vehicles.
Yeah, but hybrid is what nobody wants. The EVs, they're sitting on the lots and the batteries are rotting. And the vehicle sales, the top vehicle hybrid vehicle in the U.S. is the Honda CR-V. Next is the Toyota RAV4,
mm-hmm.
Honda Accord, Toyota Sienna, and the Ford Maverick Hybrid.
Okay.
So I think the car companies are going to start putting more money into hybrids because people are actually buying them.
Yeah.
And you know, put in money where you're going to make money, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay. Good to know. So we move on to streaming and talk about what's on
TV. Do you believe like the show goes like so quick?
Yeah, it went by pretty fast today, folks.
Okay, right, so streaming.
So we'll start with movies. Zone of Interest, which
so
I think
wait a minute. This is from
this is the date of
RealGood.com.
Oh, right.
April 4th through April 10th.
Right.
So the top one, streaming movies.
Well, I think they had, I think this won the Academy Award for foreign films, Zone of Interest. I have not seen it on Max. Poor Things, we've talked about. Very good movie. Oppenheimer. Best Picture of the Year. You can now see it on Peacock. Anatomy of a Fall, Hulu, haven't seen. Roadhouse, I watched, and it was enjoyable. Jake Gyllenhaal does a good job. It's Patrick Swayze remake of the original Roadhouse. American Fiction, which is just outstanding, and that's on MGM Plus. Dune, I still can't bring myself to watch it, but everybody says it's good. It's on Max. Scoop, which is apparently a story about Jeffrey Epstein, like we need another story, and his friendship with Prince Andrew.
Yawn.
Yeah, okay. Well, I kind of feel the same way. The Little Things, which I have not seen on Netflix, and Glass, which I also have not seen on Netflix.
Yeah, I haven't seen them either, so you know, I haven't been watching a lot of TV lately.
Yeah.
Top 10 streaming TV shows.
Yes.
So if you like episodic TV, they got stuff for you.
Yep.
Number one is Ripley. And I assume
I watched
that,
it.
That it's great. Was it great?
You know, it was, it's a very difficult one to review. I found it extremely slow to watch, yet I was thoroughly captivated by it. Because the guy that's the star of this is just not a good guy.
And tell everybody who he's playing.
Yeah, who he's playing?
Isn't it like the guy from Ripley's Believe It or Not?
You know, I don't know. I had not heard that's who he was.
All right, I know it's a crime drama, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think it has. Well, I mean, it could be wrong, but I don't know anything about it being from Ripley's Believe It or Not. But so it has nothing to do with Ripley's. And it's just a fascinating story, and it hasn't done well on Netflix. And the reason they say it hasn't done well is because it's in black and white. And it is hard. It took me a little bit of black and white, and I don't really want to watch that. But yeah, good movie. I mean, good series.
Okay, whatever. Yep. Number two, A Gentleman in Moscow.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Haven't seen it. Has a nice picture. I don't know. Number three is Sugar.
Very entertaining. I've watched the first two episodes, and I like it.
What's it about?
He's a detective, or he finds missing people, and it's Colin
In other
Farrell.
Words, it's a copy of
the TV show Tracker.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Very good, though. Very entertaining. He's very likable, so that was good.
The Three-Body Problem is number four. That was fascinating.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it spectacular, but it was fascinating and worth watching.
Totally agree.
Then we got your Shogun at number five.
Not watching. Watched an episode and a half, and I was done.
Now, Quiet on the Set is number six.
Yeah, watch that.
Okay. I saw an interesting interview with Mark Summers.
Yes.
About this, that he is in it.
For a minute and a half.
Because he got up and walked out because he realized what they were trying to make him say.
Exactly.
And he wanted no part of it because he said, I had nothing to do with it. This was an interview I saw.
Yeah, he wasn't even there when all this stuff went on.
Yeah. So, you know, why am I here? Why are you trying to tie me to this?
Yeah. So, I believe him, by the way. Mark Summers happens to be a family friend of ours. And he said, absolutely, this is a bunch of crap. And not necessarily the show, because what happened really happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's unfortunate.
And the next is The Gentleman, which is quite good on Netflix.
Very good.
And eight is Alien, Resident Alien.
We gotta watch that. It's been on here so long. We should watch it.
I know. We really should.
Yeah.
Then number nine is Palm Royale.
Yeah. Here, that's good.
And number 10 is Elsbeth.
I love her.
Which I'm really enjoying. I like Elsbeth.
She's great.
She really has a personality, and if you like oddball characters, that's what she is. Absolutely.
Hey, that's it for us, everybody. Thank you, as always, for joining us. We'll have another good show for you next week. Tune in.
Short Bits of Tech from Mark and Marcia. And thank you for listening. Please tell your friends, and thank you for writing. I really appreciate hearing from you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next.
You've been listening to Computer and Technology Radio with your hosts, Mark Cohen and Marcia Collier. Produced by Brain Food Radio Syndication, global food for thought.
Well, it says it's...